Thanks, Shane. Thank you very much.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Wash your hands.
Children are taking over the airwaves. How are you doing on this Thursday afternoon? I hope you're well. If you want to contact the programme, 51551 for your texts. You can send us emails to ray@rte.ie. We ran out of time yesterday. We were zooming the nation, as the nation said thank you to the people who got us through the lockdown and the pandemic. And we did actually speak to all 32 counties, but it was a bit of a sprint at the end. So apologies to the last few people. Billy and Michael, Billy from Kildare and Michael from Tipperary. We heard them vaguely in the distance, but we didn't actually get to talk to them. So we're going to put that to right today. The last image I saw of Billy from Kildare on Zoom yesterday was he had his head in his hands. That is, connection had let him down. He'd waited around to say thank you on behalf of the people of Kildare. And then when his Wi-Fi and his broadband was very important, it let him down. And there he was with his head in his hands going. So we're going to put that to right, which is great. Just thanks to everybody who helped us out yesterday. It was a big feat. And there were a number of people I didn't get around to thanking. Padder was on sound yesterday and he was helped out by Tom and Damien from sound. And John Bates helped us out as well because it was all Zoom. We'd never done it before, believe it or not. So we managed to get 32 people up on air in an hour and a half. Coming over the crest of a hill were the cavalry from Rahi Systems. And they're an organisation down in Limerick who are linked to Zoom International. And Bridget and Marcus and Tim there provided us with some invaluable technical support at the last minute. So thank you to them. And thanks again to the two Neves and Hazel who got all 32 people. And Ellen who made sure that it's going to be a nice little 5-minute package that people can watch on social media. And to everybody we spoke to. I can't name all 32, but you know, there was Jerry out on an island off County Mayo who was thanking the Wi-Fi people. We were introduced to little Tess, who has Down syndrome. We talked about Sarah, who's only 8 weeks old. And we had sad stories and we happy stories. The organisation that came out of yesterday with flying colours is the GAA. A lot of people mentioned how the GAA had stepped in to the void during lockdown and provided volunteerism beyond the call of duty. So that was obvious yesterday. The other person who got a mention, I think three times, was Tony Holohan. And we ended up with Fred from Kilkenny. And Tony is a Kilkenny man, so it was sort of fitting that we ended up there. But thanks to everybody. Thanks to everybody and thanks to Zoom. And we might do it again in about 10 years' time. We'll see how that goes. Now, today, we're building up again to tomorrow. RT does Comic Relief. I was over there. Dustin has built the set, the den set. So it looked surprisingly good, actually. So I sat in and what you do is you sit in, there's a camera in front of you and you catch your image in a monitor there. Usually it's a small little, you know, 20-inch telly. But on this occasion, because it's a big production tomorrow night, it was this huge cinema-like screen. So so there was Zig and Zag and Dustin, all unchanged. Over the last 30 years. And me, well, you can't say the same about that at all. The odd thing was, sitting there with Zig and Zag and Dustin in the set, I felt like I was 25 again. That's it. So that's tomorrow night and loads more. And we're talking to Deirdre O'Kane, who's one of the people behind RTE Does Comic Relief later on today. And we were talking to Shane Phelan from Westlife. And you may have heard this on the odd ad, or if you're listening to other radio stations or Ryan Tubby, whatever. But Westlife are giving themselves away for charity, which is very big of them. So they're offering their services. And of course, their services are that they perform, they sing and they dance and they step up off stools, that sort of thing. But they're offering their services to some lucky person. And we'll be talking to Shane Phelan about that. Seemingly, you can still enter. So you could win Westlife for your wedding, your engagement party, your barbecue out the back, your GA club's fundraiser, your Debs, your graduation, your whatever. And they will come and not just sort of stand there and you know, sing in front of you with no microphones. No. It's the full deal. Stage, PA, costume, pyrotechnics. Well, I don't know if they're bringing pyrotechnics to be health and safety things there. But anyway, the whole, you know, you get the idea. So we'll be talking to Shane Phelan about that later on. Looking forward to that. And of course, the All-Ireland quiz continues at 4 o'clock. We have two people from Canada, strangely enough. We'll explain that after 4 o'clock. And congratulations, well, nearly congratulations. We've been speaking to Emma Fogarty over the last couple of weeks because at the beginning of June, she set herself a challenge. Emma is 36 today. Happy birthday, Emma. And if you've been listening, you know that Emma suffers from EB. We spoke to her mum, Pat, last Friday. And the horrific nature of EB, well, just became very obvious when you spoke to Pat, who's been living with it since Emma was born, obviously. Anyway, the big thing is, and the good news is, that Emma is doing this challenge, and she's travelling in her wheelchair 36 kilometres in the lead up to her 36th birthday. And she wants to raise money for Deborah Ireland, who are the organisation that support families and people with EB. She is up to €68,000, ladies and gentlemen, which is brilliant, which is 94% of her target of 72,000. You might have worked that out already, that 72 is twice 36. She started off with a target of 3,600. Then it was 36,000 you generously gave. And then when that was hit, she said, well, let's double it. Let's double it. 72,000 is the target. Hopefully, to make Emma's 36th birthday an extra special birthday, we'll get it across the line and get her across the line. So it's Just Giving. Emma's 36th challenge. Just Giving. Emma's 36th challenge. You just put Just Giving into Google and they make it very easy for you to donate whatever you can afford. We've no expectations, and some people are going through very rough times financially. So, you know, whatever you can manage, whatever you can afford. And I think we'll be able to get her over the line before the end of her birthday this evening. Happy birthday again, Emma Fogarty. A lovely handwritten letter we got in from Nuala Corcoran McCartney. And she lives in Cross Molina in County Mayo. I have her air code there and everything. I'm always envious of people who can remember their air codes off the top of their heads. Hey, can you, anybody, Patter, do you know your air code? He does. Dave, oh, look at she, top of the class. I can't. I know it starts with a capital A and there's a 9 and there's a 4 and there might be an E in it. But apart from that, I have to look it up every time. Anyway, Nuala has her air code here. We won't be using it, Nuala, but thanks. She says, dear Ray, amidst all the doom and gloom of the COVID virus, two lovely things happened to me. Firstly, my daughter-in-law, Aoife Corcoran, gave me a beautiful, healthy baby boy, Oisín Jack, my 8th grandchild. Oh, congratulations to everybody concerned and welcome to the world, Oisín Jack. Secondly, while out walking on a beautiful sunny day, I stopped and listened at a farm gate. Cattle were grazing contentedly, sheep and horses doing the same. And then I heard it, loud and clear, the cuckoo. Ray, it only lasted a few seconds, but what an amazing sound. Life is sweet after all. A new baby and the cuckoo calling. Happy days. Sincerely, Nuala Corcoran McCartney. She sounds like a lady who probably might have entered a page from my life, which brings us nicely on. Just to warn you, it's happening today. We got thousands of entries throughout the month of May and our four judges have gone through them all. We have a winner and we have two runners up, which is very exciting, and we'll be announcing them today. So fingers crossed, and thanks again to everybody who entered that. Nuala also sounds like a person who would have appreciated the clouds. Did you see the clouds last night? It was like they were painted into the sky. It was a lovely still evening in Dublin, anyway. I think it was in most places around the country. And then you had, you know, the blue sky and those cotton wool clouds, like the ones that appear at the beginning of The Simpsons. And loads of people remarked on how beautiful it was. And that's when Twitter and social media comes into its own, because it's a positive, beautiful thing. We got on to Gavin Pretter-Pinney, which is a great name, who we've spoken to before. And he's from the Cloud Appreciation Society. Yes, there is an organisation and their sole purpose is to appreciate clouds. So last night was a particularly good night for them. Anyway, he also wrote a book, did Gavin Pretter-Pinney, called The Cloud Spotter's Guide. And he has a new book called The Cloud a Day. So he's definitely an expert. So we asked him, you know, Gavin, what was going on last night? What sort of clouds were they? Well, he told us that they were alto cumulus clouds, which are mid-level clumpy clouds that can spread across the sky. Hold on now, this needs a little bit of background music. Hold on. Yeah. He says they're alto cumulus clouds, which are mid-level clumpy clouds that can spread across the sky like a flock of sheep. They produce a lot of individual clumps, which are known as cloudlets, that spread out in a layer. Later in the day, they cause shadows known as crepuscular rays, which are beams of sunlight that sometimes appear and have a pretty phenomenal effect on the sky. So that's what he said. That's that. You know, when you sometimes you feel like the Lord is talking to us, where they, you know, the sun rays emanate out of a cloud. I think that's what he's talking about there. So altocumulus, if you want to impress your friends, altocumulus clouds were the ones you witnessed last night. A number of sort of announcements from RTE, if you don't mind, just bear with me, because I promised two people who I know quite well that I do this. So here it is. RTE is proud to be the media partner of Dublin Pride, which is happening over the weekend. And for obvious reasons, it's a virtual Pride parade this weekend. So they're saying, if you want to be involved in the virtual Pride parade, which is on Sunday 28th, you can share pictures, videos and messages using hashtag virtual Pride Parade. And you can watch the virtual Pride Parade, it's difficult to say, live at dublinpride.ie/live. And that's from 2 o'clock on Sunday. And all the RTE social accounts will keep you up to date. The hashtag again is hashtag virtual Pride Parade. That's that. And big news, and they've been talking about it here, there and everywhere. It's not a conversation I have a huge amount of interest in because I don't have any hair. I'm joking. But Monday's the day that hairdressers and barbers are reopening. And because it's such a big thing for so many people, RTE want to document it, which is a big thing. So they're looking for hairdressers who will be reopening again all over the country. To get on board and let RTE document the reopening of their businesses. And then they'll put it together, obviously, and show it as a documentary. This is obviously on the back of Abbey Feelgood, which was huge, and Paddy Joe from Roscommon. There's a rich vein of content out there in hairdressers, and people are copping onto it now. So if you're a hairdresser, you're opening up on Monday and you want the cameras in there to shoot it so you'll have it for posterity, they're looking for you. So where do they go? Here we go. RayDarcyShow@RTE.ie. RayDarcyShow@RTE.ie. Calling all hairdressers and barbers. RayDarcyShow@RTE.ie. Loads of initiatives happened over the last 3 months. And that's the creativity that has come out of the lockdown is just amazing. And there was a lot more than just sourdough starter. But there were people creating music and creating drama and writing and all sorts of things. And the latest one is the Artain Boys Band. Well, it's the Artain Boys Band and the grown-up version of it. And they've done a lovely thing for jackandjill.ie. They've done their version of the theme from Toy Story. And have a listen, it's lovely. Yeah, and I've done one of those lovely videos where all the participants are at home playing individually, but then some technical genius brought them all together, sound and vision, and it sounds glorious. And they're raising funds there for jackandjill.ie, which is great. Did you know that Larry Mullen Jr., him of U2 fame, the drummer, was in the Artain Boys Band? You probably knew that already if you're a U2 fan. But he is connected to the next thing I want to talk about, because today, 30 years ago in Italy, Ireland qualified for the quarterfinals of Italia 90. It was amazing. That moment 30 years ago. And George Hamilton's brilliant, brilliant commentary. Do you remember it? Of course you remember it. Here we go.
David O'Leary of Arsenal. In his 52nd international appearance, David O'Leary is entrusted with the responsibility of taking the penalty that could send Ireland into the quarterfinals of the World Cup. This kick can decide it all. The nation holds its breath. Yes, we're there!
Ah, yeah, you'd have to. A little bit of this, a little bit of this.
We'll prepare and we'll go do our best. We'll put them under pressure. The game is about being effective, being aggressive, winning the ball, getting on with the play. We'll put them under pressure.
Yes, one of the greatest sporting moments in the history of our country. And I believe there's a bit of football nostalgia tomorrow night as well, looking back at Italia 90, which is something to look forward to. Like, tomorrow night is going to be brilliant. And like, I've seen some of the stuff. I've heard about other parts of it, and you just realise how much we punch above our weight as a little country when it comes to entertainers, comedy, sport, all sorts of things. And we'll be doing a sort of a lead up tomorrow for the whole show, building up to tomorrow night's broadcast, which starts at 8 o'clock on RTE One. Oh yeah, you're saying, what? Larry Mullen, what association? Well, he produced that. He produced Put Him Under Pressure. And he was in the Artain Boys band. He never played for Ireland. No, not that I know of. Nina Simone and her version of the Beatles classic Here Comes the Sun on RTÉ Radio 1. The Artain band, of course. It's not the Artain Boys band anymore. There are girls and boys in the Artain band. So thanks for correcting me on that one. I watched Flora's Lava Ray, not from A, too Americanized and over the top. Would love a few more ideas. Thanks. That's Louise Kyo sitting out in the garden, listening, not watching Netflix. Well, that one... Magnetic is a great documentary. I don't know what you're into, Louise. You'll have to give me more details. But I've been talking to loads of people about Flora's Lava and they all love it. And I didn't like it initially, but it's just so ridiculous. It's pure escapism. It's on Netflix. Can't wait for The Den. I followed you from a child all the way to now. Thanks for the great memories. That's Trevor. So Trevor was a child. He hasn't followed me from me being a child. Right. OK, Trevor. Just before, it's tomorrow night around 10 o'clock, I think. Big shout out to the Defence Forces veterans who have been given support in delivering prescriptions and other goods from pharmacies to old age people and those that were at risk. Yes, the GAA have been to the forefront, but also the Defence Forces veterans have been doing their bit. That's Paul Clark. From 2nd Battalion Association. Thanks, Paul. And Debbie says she's looking forward to the Den reunion. I was hoping Kira will be included. We loved Runners. She'll be glad to hear that. So will the reopening of hairdressers on Monday next make it a bad hair day or a good hair day? Well, I suppose for a lot of people, a bad hair day that turns into a good hair day. Isn't that what will happen? Send love and best wishes to my goddaughter, Susan Wardick. Special birthday today. She works so hard for the HSE and having a day off for her birthday. Her parents, John and Marie, are having a garden party for Susan and family today. That's from Godmother Pat and girls in Navan. Happy to do that and happy birthday, Susan. Now, yesterday we got to 32 counties, but we didn't get to chat to two of them. We heard them, but their lines broke down. So very quickly, we're going to go to Kildare and speak to Billy Gray. How are you doing, Billy?
Not too bad, Ray.
I was just describing you earlier on that the last image I saw of you was with your head in your hands. That you're...
Yeah. Well, sure, they're the good old days, as we say, you know?
Yeah. So your broadband let you down just at the crucial moment.
Technology, that's what we do. Sure, we depend on it and then it lets us down at the last moment.
Yeah, okay. Is, you know? So you're a farmer. What sort of farming do you do, Billy?
We have a poultry business here, a free-range poultry business, and... like we do a lot of free range chicken and duck and turkey for Christmas, and we do other farming as well, with cattle and sheep and tillage as well. But our mainstay is our own brand of products we have out there and for free range poultry, you know.
Okay, and who kept you going during the lockdown?
My thing is that everyone kept us going, and like I say, the local butcher kept us going, and then likewise the people kept the local butcher going, kept the local shop going.
Mm.
You know, and a lot of people, I would like to thank everyone for supporting the small producers and the small butchers and small shops. Like, when the snow came, they were there. You know, when the winds came, they were there. When COVID came, they were there. And as I say, you know, it's all right to have the big supermarkets, but the local person has, there's a lot of people that has learned how to cook from the local butcher or the local shop or bake. And and I think if people were to ask themselves today and give them a score of 1 to 10, what would they like for cooking pre-COVID and what would it today on cooking? I'd say everyone is up 2 marks on cooking at this stage.
I'd say you're right, Billy. I'd say you're right. My baking skills have gone through the roof.
I was talking to one woman and she said it took her 4 weeks to master what she could cook for her children. You know what I mean? So
right. And she'd never done it before. There was a great story in an American paper about a couple who'd been married for 5 years. And during the lockdown, he discovered that she was a brilliant cook. But she never said it to him because she loved the fact that he was cooking for her. So there you go. That's another side of the story. Go on. What were you going to say there?
No, look, as I say, I think it has to be hands off to everyone who, you know, closed down their business and sat at home, the restaurants and everything else. But even all the people who went out and supported the local producers and everything else. And that's what we'd like to say thanks for, because us as small producers, and even small shops, like, we need the local people to support things to keep the business going. And, like, we don't have massive finances behind us like the big multinationals would have around to survive a pandemic like this. And I'd like to say thanks to everyone who supported a local small producer, a local butcher and a local shop. That's really my thanks.
Okay, and just to get your lineage then, you're third generation of farmers. So are you anything to John and Jim and Fergus Gray?
No, we're the same name.
And no relation?
No relation. I'm known in that farmyard as Master Grey. They always call me Master Grey in that yard, you know.
Okay, so you're not into the other Greys. Okay.
No.
Good talking to you, Billy. Mind yourself.
No, take care.
Right. Michael Ryan is in Tipperary. Michael, we didn't get to talk to you either yesterday.
How are you, Ray, eventually?
Yeah, good to talk to you. And we no rushing today now. You have the airwaves. So
okay, well, have you half an hour, so?
No, we don't. We've a lot of...
But they talk a lot. Anyone knows me, so they can't shut me up. Anyway.
Right. Well, I've control of your phone here, so I can just turn you down and move on. No, I'm joking.
Okay.
I'm joking.
That's all right.
So you're whereabouts in Tipperary are you?
Yeah, I'm in Templemore, Ray.
Right,
Templemore, and I'm with Centenary Hardware, so I'm in the town of Templemore, right in the middle, and we cater for the agriculture, for the farmers, for everybody coming in the town of Templemore, and everyone has been good to us, really. We were working completely through it because we were counted as an essential.
Yes.
And I mean, everybody needs everybody, and that's exactly what happened. And we all pulled our weight, and only for the staff here with me in Templemore, Donnie, Liam, you had Jennifer, Damien, you had Sean and Owen on the floor, Jerry, Connor and Michael out in the yard, all of us. We all pulled. It was a tough time at the start. We didn't know where we were going, what was happening.
Yeah.
But listen, we pulled through it and we're continuing on. And I mean, as well as that, I mean, everybody thanked everybody yesterday, so I don't want to repeat myself. But my own family at home, I mean, I'm married to Francis. I have two boys, Shane and Edward. Shane is 17, Edward is 13. And, I mean, I come in that door every evening and upset, maybe, and didn't know what was going to happen, and up in a heap, and they were there for me.
Yeah.
We all have our family, you know. I mean, sorry, am I getting emotional?
No, I was getting emotional with you. I was going with you there because because
I can't find a hanky under your supper here.
No, because it's like I'm in a similar situation. You go home and you're hassling, you're stressed and whatever, and then you know, people have gone through way worse than you and me have gone through. But you go home and you know, Jenny's there for me and Tom and Kate and a hug and you know,
absolutely.
Smile.
And I mean, now, if this doesn't pull the country together, I don't know what is. And I hope people will continue to pull together. That's the important thing.
Yeah, I think you're right there. It was that lady I met yesterday, Jean, on the way into work, and she said, would you please tell people to be as nice to each other when this is over as they were throughout. Just before I let you go, Perspex, do you sell Perspex? No,
we don't sell Perspex, and we had a job in getting it for ourselves, but we got it eventually. But I mean, I know you're going to pull the plug of me now because you know I intend to talk about this. But anyway, just to basically thank everybody.
Okay.
From the teachers as well to the two schools, Our Lady's Templemore and Lochmore National School. Edward, who's 13, is on the autism spectrum. And Angela and all the teachers and the SNAs and everyone, and even my eldest guy, helped us all through it. Only for everybody, we couldn't survive.
Yeah.
I mean, the one thing that came across to me yesterday, if you give me 2 seconds, the importance of, and I'm a former councillor here in Templemore, the importance of broadband.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, we have a new government coming in tomorrow, get the Broadband Act in order, because we can see how important it is for the countryside. It's done for business, and there's going to be more broadband going to be used.
Yes,
I mean, that is the message. It's a minor thing, but it's a major
thing. No, it's a major thing, and it's a priority. And I think you're right. We're not sure that the government will be formed tomorrow now, Michael, but if it is going to be formed, it will be tomorrow.
Well, my old inside source has said hopefully it will.
All right. I won't
say any more on that one.
Okay, right. Nudge, wink, wink. Michael Ryan from Centenary Hardware in Thurles. Thanks for that.
Sorry, Templemore.
Sorry, what did I say? Thurles, sorry, Templemore. We'll talk to you again, Michael.
Home of the Gardaí, Red.
Yes, I know where you are. We'll talk again, Michael. Good talking. Good luck.
Take care.
See you now. Bye. And that's Billy and Michael. So we got them a little bit yesterday, but there they are in full audio. Can you please say the name again who sang Here Comes the Sun? Nina Simone, the great Nina Simone. And that's a lovely version. She's a great interpreter of a song. She wrote her own songs, but she does amazing versions of songs. Ain't Got Nobody, which is a Bee Gees song, I think, which she does a brilliant version of, and loads of other ones as well. Nina Simone. Okay, we'll take a quick commercial break.
Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
5 on 5, 5 on ray.rte.ie. Back at the beginning of May, we announced our writing competition, A Page from My Life. And we thought we'd probably get a couple of hundred, because the more you ask people to do, the less response you get. That's a rule in broadcasting. And then over the first weekend, 50 came in. And then by the end of the first week, we'd reached what we thought we'd get, 200, and then they kept coming. And they kept coming via email and handwritten and posted, typed, and all sorts. And there were stories from everybody, all sorts of stories. There was stories of heartbreak, stories of death, stories of birth. There were funny stories, particularly sad stories. There were stories that people had never told before. And they were using our little competition as a way of getting it down on paper and getting it off their chest. So at the end, all told, there was over 2,500 entries to A Page from My Life. Thanks very much to Penny and Rachel, who read through them all, whittled it down to a workable number, and sent them off to our judges, who we have lined up on 4 telephone lines here. We have author of Notes to Self, Emily Pine. How are you doing, Emily?
Yeah, absolutely. Loved reading all of those entries.
Good to talk to you, and we'll talk about that a little bit more. Donal Ryan, author of The Spinning Heart and loads of other books, The Slanting of the Sun stories, All We Shall Know, From a Low and Quiet Sea. How are you doing, Donal?
Hi, Ray. How are you doing?
And Emer MacLeisett, oh my God, what a complete Aisling. 3 books, co-writer. How are you doing, Emer?
Afternoon, Ray. How are you?
Good. And then Owen Colfer. Author of Artemis Fowl, and his latest adult fantasy book is High Fire. How are you doing, Owen?
Hey, Ray, how's it going?
Good. You always have that little laugh in your voice, Owen, when you talk to me.
Because everybody is saying, you know, how honoured they were to read it. And all I remember was when I got this phone call, I was going, Jesus Christ, I don't have enough to do with that.
Without your man Darcy calling in a favour.
I'm joking.
I know you are. So while we're there and talking to you, Owen, what have you got to say about the entries that you read? And I know you had just a sample of them, but they were a sample of the best.
It was something Donald said, I think. They were so brave. Like, people just went straight for the emotional juggler and really put down on paper the most traumatic moment of their lives. It was actually a privilege to read them in a way.
Mm.
But there's stuff down there that I still haven't got to the point where I could talk about that. And you know, stuff like medical exams and infant mortality, and just really harrowing stuff. So fair play to people. They really went in at the deep end.
Mm. And some people misheard me. So you got a bit of fiction in there as well by accident. So I said, you see, over and over again, I said a page from your imagined autobiography, you see. And imagine that you would write an autobiography. It would still be yours. And of course, people took that as a license to write fiction, but we sorted that out anyway. Okay, Owen, there we are. Emily, of course, your Notes to Self is a memoir, it's essays. So this is right up your street, so to speak.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, just to echo what Owen says, everyone was so brave. And what I loved was everything I read had something brilliant going for it. You know, there was the really sad ones, and they kind of move you, and your heart goes out to the people that have written this about their lives. But there are also really vivid ones, funny ones, lots of ones about childhood, you know, that really brought you back to those summers of kind of running around and being slightly... I mean, it was a different world then when we were kids. So again, just so evocative, really, so many of the pieces.
Mm. And Donal, you were saying that it's difficult to, you know, to be limited to 500 words.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, it's amazing what people can compress into such a small space when they want to. And, you know, the people who kind of stuck to the brief rigidly of a page from my life, I think they were the ones that stood out most, because, you know, the ones that we picked as the winners are the ones who really have encompassed something, you know, really defining about themselves in pretty much one page. Fantastic.
And you lecture in writing. So what would you say to people who won't be mentioned today, but have entered?
Oh, there were some entries that were just fantastic. I mean, the writing was just so strong. And a few, as you were saying, that unfortunately didn't quite fit the brief because they were fiction, but
yes,
but brilliantly done fiction. Yeah. So I mean, really, really good. There were stories that would win any flash fiction competition, because flash fiction, it's very specialised kind of fiction.
What is that? I didn't hear about that until you mentioned it the other day. What is it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you see competitions advertised for flash fiction. It's normally where people are asked to write a story in 200 or 500 words, or maybe 1,000 at the most. But it's normally around 500 words. And it's hard to do. You know, you have to develop a full narrative arc and resolve something in that short space. It's a bit of a challenge.
Yeah.
Some of the entries for this would fit that completely.
I must mention Sean, who emailed us from Rooski, because I was reading some of the entries over the last few weeks. and Sean was worried that one of the things I read out had more than 500 words. So he went back to the RTE radio player and transcribed the thing that I'd read and worked it out that the person had actually used 497 words. So there, well done, Sean. Eimear MacLeisett.
All right.
Yeah, you were very enthusiastic from the off, unlike Owen Colfer, about this.
Maybe you should have got Sean from Rooski to read a few.
So what did you think?
I absolutely loved it. Like, it was a real privilege to read them. I wasn't, even though we only read a kind of a condensed number of the thousands of entries you got, I still wasn't expecting the level of kind of clarity and brilliant writing. And I set myself a few criteria when I was deciding which were my favourites. It was like, how well do they drop me into the story? So if this is a page ripped out of a book, how well does it fit that? And most of them were just absolutely brilliant. I wanted to know what happened before. I wanted to know what happened after. It was just really great.
Yeah. And I'm just looking at the three people we're going to be talking to in the next quarter of an hour or so. And I think one of the three have done, you know, creative writing courses. The other two have never done anything like this before in their lives.
It's amazing. Look, I've actually never done any creative writing courses, but reading these kind of, as Donald said, some of them were almost like flash fiction, but I felt like maybe I'm going to go and do a creative writing course. Like, I've only ever written about one character, so I got quite inspired.
It's working well for you though, Eimear, in fairness. Yeah, and it worked well for you, Owen, as well, didn't it? The one character thing, sticking with the one character for a while.
It was going very well till recently.
Well, it got 10 out of 10 from our Tom, just so you know.
Well, that's great.
And he's watched Tom it three times already. So
thank
that's
God for that, Tom.
There you go. That's okay. So there are judges. We have people waiting, shortlisted people waiting to hear what's going to happen next. But we have to take a quick commercial break, and we're going to announce the two runners up and then the winner of A Page from My Life. Very exciting.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Text 51551. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Very exciting. We decided that we would surprise our winners today. So Easons.com have given us a prize fund. We have two 500 euros to give away to the runners up in no particular order. And then the overall winner of A Page for My Life gets 1,000 euro from Easons.com. And the good news is for over 120 people who entered the competition, they will be published come this autumn. Which is very exciting, isn't it, Donal Ryan? They're going to be published in a book.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, brilliant. Yeah.
So we've been speaking to Conor Nagel and people in HarperCollins, and it's going to be a book for charity, and it'll feature, as I say, 120 or more of the pages from people's lives. So guaranteed, we know what three of them are going to be. And one of them is going to be the work of Susan Carey.
Susan,
congratulations!
Oh my God, I can't believe it. It's unbelievable.
Well done.
Thanks a million. Never written a thing in my life.
Now, I'm going to ask you to read your piece. Are you up for that? Are you on a hands-free there or something? You sound like a little...
No, I'm on a mobile.
Yeah, come right into the mouthpiece there. Yeah. Now, you're guaranteed 500 euro, right, Susan Carey? You're also going to get your 500 words published in next week's RT Guide.
Oh, just incredible.
And you're going to be in the book.
Oh, I can't believe it, Ray. I'm after having an awful year. This is the best thing that's ever happened to me.
Oh. Right, well, we'll talk about your year in a moment. Okay. But are you up for this now, reading it? You are?
I'm shaking, but I'll do my best.
All right, take your time and you know, put your heart and soul into it. Right,
okay.
Right, there you go.
October 2006, and I'm in the clinic in Our Lady of Lourdes Hospital in Drogheda waiting for a colposcopy. It's a big day for me. As a very celibate single mother, my female bits haven't been exposed in the presence of another human being for a long time. I looked at the other women waiting. Were they here for the same thing? Were they like me? Did their last smear test need further investigation? Did their sister die at 30 from cancer and their mother? The door opens and the nurse calls me in. I'm tempted to ask her if she has a Dyson to go break through the cobwebs that form my chastity belt. But she has a very professional and serious demeanour, so I don't. In the room, there's diagnostic equipment, a bed with a monitor at its head, and my consultant, Dr. Ravpan. He explains the procedure, tells me not to worry, and I strip and lie on the bed. No serious head helps put my legs into the dreaded stirrups, and my dignity says goodbye and leaves. I lie there, staring at the ceiling, trying to imagine that I'm on a beach in the Seychelles. My imagination's not good enough. And instead, I imagine that Dr. Ravpan is putting on a miner's lamp to hack his way through to his destination. As the procedure starts, the monitor beside my head blips into life, and there it is. My cervix in 32-inch Technicolor. Of course, I Googled what was going to happen and what an abnormal cervix should look like. So I stayed glued to the screen, second-guessing everything I saw. And as I lay there, and as the procedure continued, the atmosphere in the room changed. Was I imagining it? I looked at Nurse Serious Head, but she wouldn't make eye contact. And suddenly, there was a tangible gravity and tension in the room. And silence. Finally, Dr. Ravpan said he was finished and I could get dressed. Fully clothed now, and as I gathered my belongings, the doctor explained that he would see me for the results in 2 weeks' time. My head was telling me not to ask, just leave, say nothing. But I couldn't resist and said, "Did it look okay?" He looked me in the eyes and said, "It didn't look normal." And those four words heralded the start of my fight with cervical cancer.
That's brilliantly written and brilliantly read.
Thank you.
Well done, Susan.
Thank you.
And Emily Pine particularly liked your entry. Emily.
I did. Susan, I can't believe you haven't written before.
I haven't.
It's extraordinary. It's so skillfully done.
Oh,
and really,
I'm so humbled.
No, it was. When you wrote that line, my dignity waves goodbye, and I read that, and I thought, I know that feeling. I know exactly that feeling.
And lots of other women know the feeling, yeah.
Exactly. And I think that's the sign of really good writing.
Oh.
When it can evoke that, can put you as the reader in that moment.
Yeah.
And to capture that, and I think it was really brilliant the way you decided to just tell it exactly how it happened. Just step,
well,
minute by minute.
Interviewing. I don't know who you interviewed, Ray. Maybe it was Emily, but somebody you interviewed in the build-up to this said, just write it as you would tell it.
Yeah.
And I think that's what I tried to do.
Yes. And as Emer was saying there, she wanted to know what happened beforehand. And of course, we all want to know what happened after. So I'm presuming that it wasn't good news then when eventually you got the results.
It wasn't good news. No. So that was 2006.
Right. And where are you at now?
I had a hysterectomy and radiotherapy, chemotherapy, brachiotherapy then. And then 2013, same as Vicky Phelan, I got a para-aortic tumour, more surgery, more radiotherapy. And last year I had, just a year ago, I had my colon removed.
Jenny, you've had a tough...
Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah. So this...
how was it, Susan, writing about it? Did it feel like a positive thing to do?
Oh, absolutely. Like, you know, I'm not looking for a pity party or sympathy vote or anything, but like a year ago, I just had my colon removed. And this time last year, I was so ill and so weak. And I cried every day because I couldn't get a stoma bag to stay on me. And to be able to do this, to have the energy to write this and bother to send it in, and to get this far is just amazing.
Yeah.
I'm blown away.
No, well, we're blown away with you, Susan. Yeah. Well done, Susan Carey, our first runner-up. And we'll talk again, Susan, I'm sure, and in person as well when this thing is over, when we can
all
get
right,
people in the studio.
Familiar.
Well done, Susan. Congratulations.
Well done.
Well done. Now, our second runner-up, and again, in no order, we say congratulations to Anne Battersby. Congratulations, Anne.
Hey, Ray.
How are you?
I'm all right.
You didn't know, you see. We told you. We told a little bit of a lie. We told
for
you
what?
That...
did I win?
No, you didn't. We came... No. You are runner-up.
Yeah, I know. She told me to hang on. I may or may not be up.
Yes, yeah. So here's what you've won. You've won €500. You're going to be in the RT Guide next week. And you're going to be in the book. So
that's amazing.
Out of over 2,500 entries.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
I'm shocked. I'm absolutely shocked.
Are you so shocked that you can't read your entry?
I know, I'll read it. All right.
Okay.
I've told this story so many times, but to actually write it down was a different thing altogether.
Okay, right. We'll talk to you afterwards then. Go for it.
Will I go for it? Okay.
Yeah, take your time.
After I stitched the cardigan together, I held it up. Would you look at the size of that? It's tiny. John put his hands over his eyes and said, "Don't be showing me that." I laughed and waved it at him. Another one of his superstitions. He was full of them. We'd an early start the following morning. It would be my last trip in the Scania for a while. It was very bumpy, and John didn't think it was a good idea for me to be bouncing around in my condition. It was almost Christmas, and we were expecting our first baby the following April and planning to marry soon after that, so it was exciting times for us. I always looked forward to our trips down the country. We would stop off for breakfast and have lunch on the way home. John had been a truck driver for years, so he knew all the good spots. I loved being high up on the road. We'd listen to our music and sing along. We stopped just outside Waterford at a small little house that served food. The smell of bacon and cabbage greeted us as we walked in the door, and the place was full of other truck drivers tucking into their dinner. On the way home, John was very quiet. I put it down to him being tired, but it wasn't like him at all. I was going to my mum's, so he dropped me at the top of the road and said he would give me a call in the morning. He kissed me on the cheek and I hopped out. I stood and waved as he drove away. The following day, I didn't hear from him, but it wasn't that unusual as we didn't have mobile phones. I had a hospital appointment, so the day went quick enough and I had an early night. I knew I'd hear from John tomorrow. I woke to hear my sister Una's voice downstairs. She worked nearby and often called over on our break for a chat. I threw on my dressing gown. Una was sitting at the table with my mam. She worked with John's sister, who she said wasn't in work. She was a great one for taking unofficial days off and always came up with great excuses. I laughed and said, "What excuse has she used this time?" Una smiled. "Ah, you're going to love this one," she said. She said her brother is getting married. We all broke our hearts laughing. I said, she really is scraping the barrel now. Later that evening, the phone rang. Mam said, that's probably John. I answered thinking it was him, but instead I heard my friend's voice. We chatted for a few minutes. Are you okay? She asked, and I said, I'm fine. She said, you haven't heard the news then. What news? I asked. She paused. John got married today.
Yow. So sorry. I wasn't expecting that at all. You can laugh now because of many years, roughly years.
It's 38 years ago.
Wow. Yeah. Donal Ryan.
Wow. Congratulations, Anne. Well done.
Thank you.
It's just a great story, and it's written in such a lovely, natural, conversational style, you know, and it's written in quite a muted way, and your reading actually was really strong, was fantastic. But I love how you presented it, and I love how, it's a story of horrific betrayal, but your style of writing is quite muted, almost deadpan, and it's kind of all the more shocking and powerful for that. Mm. It seems like this, you know, is exactly how you would tell the story.
And that's what I say. I've told it so many times
that really comes true, all right, absolutely. You know, it has a lovely natural kind of flow to it. And you just set your reader up brilliantly for the absolute gut punch of the last four words. You know, even though there's a semi-reveal before that, but, you know, it's said and then everybody laughs. So there's no way it could be true. And then at the very end, it is true, you know. And it's just, it's, you know, I read this and for the two or three days afterwards, it was in my head a lot. You know, I kept thinking back to it. And, you know, the lovely, gracious way, actually, that you described, John, and, you know, your time together on the road in Scania, there's a real grace in that. You know, there's a real kind of humanity about it.
I'm very flattered to hear you saying something like that about it. I'm just...
And what's your you haven't written before, have you?
No, never. Like, I would have been a good essay writer in my day in school and that, you know. It's just words some kind of flow, and I'm a great talker, and I'm a great storyteller, and
yeah.
I'm an open book, so I just tell people as it is, you know.
But I think we've really tapped into something here. There's a lot of people like you, Anne, around the country from what I've read, and you just need a little bit of confidence.
Yeah, I've been threatening to do that for ages, and it was just with the lockdown and I had a bit of time and the competition, it just spurred me on to do it.
Yeah. Well, we're delighted you did, and now you are, I'd say, €500 RT guide.
I honestly didn't do it. I didn't even know what the prize was when I wrote it.
And I'll ask Emily's question if she doesn't mind me asking it, but how did you feel, and was it therapeutic? And
yeah, to see it down in writing and even to read it out there now, as I say, I tell that story so many times because once I get to know people, I don't have any secrets. So.
Yeah.
And everybody, when I tell it, always says to me, oh, my God, you could write a book.
Well, 500 words
that's
anyway.
That's only the beginning of it.
Yeah,
you want to know the beginning and the end.
Yeah.
There's a huge book there.
Yeah. Well, well done. And again, we'll meet up the other side of this.
Lovely. Thanks a million.
Well done. Brilliant.
Yeah, well done.
Thanks, Ray.
Eamon.
Thanks, everybody.
Yeah, right. Well done. Now, listen, we were supposed to announce the winner before Nooked, but we won't get a chance to. So we let them off and we'll ring them back. So we'll be back in 5 minutes or so. We'll commercial break, Nooked, and then we'll announce the winner after that.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Yeah, so we'll announce the winner in a moment, but Anish Tosh and I'm the Free Skelton and Nooked and Marion Nihulawan. Gurmagat Marion, 5 on 5 on radar.ie. We still have our four judges, Don Ryan, Emily Pine, Eimear McLoysett and Owen Colfer. Thanks so much for staying on. If we weren't in lockdown situation, you'd all be in studio and it wouldn't feel as bad, but you're all there at home, so thank you very much for that. So we've one more job of work to do, and that is to announce the winner of A Page From My Life. This person will get €1,000 in cash. They'll be published in the RT Guide next week, and they'll be in a position of prominence in the book when it comes out in the autumn. So the winner of the inaugural A Page My Life competition, that puts us under pressure to do more of them, is Elaine Wilbur. Elaine, congratulations.
Oh my goodness.
Yes, my goodness indeed. How do you feel? How do you feel?
I have to catch my breath. I feel absolutely overwhelmed.
Yeah.
I can't believe this. Oh my goodness. Wow.
Well, I'll give you a chance to catch your breath while I tell you that all the judges, and we'll get to hear from them after you read out your piece, were effusive in their praise. and I don't know if it's them as a group of writers or whether this is a universal thing, but they all felt that it touched something inside them, and they all identified the themes that you wrote about so well. So I think I've been. I think that's. Yeah, they all agree. They're all nodding there. I can see them nodding at home. Okay. Will you read your winning entry for us then?
I absolutely will. Yes.
Right. Okay. take your time.
Yes.
Right.
I think first of all, I just kind of feel a little bit overwhelmed the fact that I'm speaking for radio. But anyway, I'm back. Okay. This is my story. We climb to the top of the high wall around Kelly's field. Come on, she says. Just stand up. It'll be faster. Kelly's field has the biggest hay jump. We heard that you could jump from the railway bridge. She wants to go, and I want to be her. I watch her knotty legs stretch in front of each other, her socks inside her corked German sandals. That smile she flicks backwards is warm and taunting, the same smile she has when she loans me another 10p for a chickadees or a rubble bubble. I want to get up out of my 9 years of milky ordinariness, to shrug off early bedtimes and my Enid Blyton collection, to be White's life plan for a day, normal for everyone else except me. Be brave, I say to myself, but my body refuses. My raspberry ripple knees grip both sides of the concrete block so tightly I feel printed with gravelly ridges. Those indents are the branding of my weakness. I knew I would never stand next to her or walk along this imagined tightrope. Sorry. I knew it in the same way I knew I hated wet potatoes in my mother's stew. I'd probably have to go back for dinner, I say, and drop my leg down into my shame, searching for solid ground. I see her knowing smirk as she skims away from me. Her form briefly covers the sun, and I lower myself into her shadow before coming back to earth. I wipe the ingrained rubble from my knees and I make my way home. I hear the faraway screams of the hay jump threaded through the cuckoo's call. The tarmac flows under my footsteps and I look back at my temporary mark. As I round the corner, I see my brothers playing curb to curb. I hear the plastic spoke beads of someone's bike rattling closer, someone who gets Kellogg's Frosties more than once a year and doesn't have to fight for the plastic treasure inside. My fingers thrum along the different wrought iron gates I pass. Each gap in a wall brings me closer to our opening. I have the scooped out feeling that something is missing. I look behind me wondering if I was worth following for once. But I know that her reach is always further than mine. I will always drop with the anchor while she soars with the sail. She is Mary and I am Laura, the Elizabeth to her Jessica. She is racerback tan lines and I am sunburned freckles. She is Quinsworth, I am Duns. She zooms along with her inline skates while I paint a P in my wooden tennis racket with black shoe polish. It's Wednesday, so that means steaklets and chips. I can smell it coming through the front door as I round the pillars. I like Wednesdays. I still do.
There you go. Have you met this woman since childhood?
Yeah, I have. But I suppose, yeah, I had a Zoom call with her at the beginning of this. And it kind of sparked something in my memory. And I just kind of took out my little journal and I wrote kind of the bones of that. Sitting down trying to figure out, like, what is it about you? You know, that... That makes me feel this way. And so I just kind of, you know, like as an adult, just kind of trying to unpack what it was about that friendship that seemed so important at the time. But that's what it was.
You struck a chord with Emer McLeister. Well,
absolutely. Emer. There was so much in that I like. It's great when writing is relatable, but it doesn't have to be. That was relatable, but it was something that I felt I could never write myself, if that makes sense. Like, it was so beautiful. Like, I got the Mary and Laura and the Wakefield twins references, the Frosties, like, everything. I felt like it was my childhood, but written so beautifully by you. It's just gorgeous.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you.
And Owen Colfer, you said that you could identify with that as well when we were having our chat the other day.
I know, yeah. And even though I'm not Mary or Laura, I think a lot of writers might have been the quiet children in the group and maybe would have liked to be in the action men. But I think I was won over by the Quinsworth and Duns. I was like, right, that is it. You know, because you can talk about all the rules you want and you can toss out all the various things that people should do. But when someone comes along with the talent, that just blows all that out of the water. And you can't even really fully explain why it's the winner, but it is you know, absolutely the winner.
And Emily?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a really great example of how you write about a whole childhood and a whole personality with just a few details. And it's really captivating. And I mean, it's a lovely voice. And so when we read all of these and we talked about them a lot, and we all said about yours, and actually about loads of pieces, but about yours in particular, this could be the first chapter of a book. You know, this could be the beginning of something.
Yeah. And finally, Donal Ryan.
Yeah, absolutely. It reads like that to me as well, like the first chapter of a really, really well-written book. The language is just extraordinary. I mean, that line that you read there, Elaine, as if it was nothing at all, that was my line I called before it. I wanted to get up out of my 9 years of milky ordinariness. That sentence is sublime, you know, yeah. It's just so perfect. It's just so finely tuned and just bang on, you know, it's a really... And throughout the piece, the language is things like that, and it doesn't feel forced at all, it just feels... You know, the beauty is emergent from it. It's gorgeous.
We'll find out more about you in the future, but for the moment, I can tell people, can I tell them your age?
You can, yes.
39, married with 3 children, 16, 13 and 10, 3 boys.
Yeah,
and
true.
And no surprise here, you're a psychotherapist. So there you go, that explains a lot. Okay, congratulations, Elaine. €1,000 on the way. You'll be in the RT Guide next week, and you'll be in the book, of course. And thanks so much to Donal Ryan, Emily Pine, Eimear MacLysett, and Owen Colfer. And well done again to our winner, Elaine Wilbur. Well done. Congratulations. Bye, everybody. See you. Bye. Yippee-dee-dee. Busy today, isn't it? Yeah. Time for the All-Ireland Quiz. We're in the second round, and today, Meath takes on Louth. That's it, Meath takes on Louth. And surprisingly, and by pure coincidence, both our contestants are not in Meath. They're not in Louth. They're in Canada. Hello, Yvonne.
Hi, Ray. How are you doing?
Yes. Yvonne Finnegan representing Meath. We know that you were in, the last time we spoke, you were in Canada.
Yeah, I've been here a couple of years now.
Yeah, well, 6, according to my brief here.
Thanks for reminding me.
So sorry.
It passes very quickly.
Yeah. I believe we keep you connected, not this particular show, but all of Radio 1.
Yeah, since I've been working from home, I listen to radio every day. I have to say it's brilliant because it's just a nice little distraction from being stuck in front of a laptop all day. And there's a nice kind of mix of news and then just a bit of fun as well. So, I've been listening to more radio in the last 3 months than probably the rest of my life put together.
I think you're not on your own. I think it's common for a lot of people. Was yesterday a big day in Canada? Were a lot of the restrictions lifted?
Yeah, they opened up pubs and restaurants. I haven't been in them yet, but apparently they're back open and they're doing the whole social distancing. And I don't know what the story is in hairdressers. I haven't looked yet, but I think they might be opening up too. So,
right. Okay.
Yeah, it's nice. And the weather's kind of nice. People are kind of feeling better. There's a good mood about the place.
Yeah. So the doom and gloom is lifting a bit. You're up against Louth, and Louth are represented by Bernard Curley. And he, since we spoke to him last, has gone to Canada. Hello, Bernard.
Yes, Ray. Yeah. Hello, Ray. What's the crack?
Yeah, you're coming in loudly and clearly, like you're in the next room, but you're in Canada. So you were at the very beginning of this, weren't you? I think you were day one or day two.
Yeah, could have been.
So to remind people, you graduate of UCD, you were working in a pub, trying to learn Billy Joel songs. And what brings you to what brings you to Canada?
Well, you answered it kind of when you introduced me. I came out here for better reception, because the last time we spoke was poor enough. So that's what brought me out here.
Very good. Well, you've achieved that. Now you can come home.
No, yes. Maybe. Indeed.
Well, I suppose if you qualify to the quarterfinals, we need to keep you in Canada. So Corcrea is your home place.
That's right, Corcrea.
In the parish of Killeany, near Monaghan, but on the Louth side of the border.
That's true, yeah.
Okay. Now, because we're running late, I'm just going to move on very quickly. Go for your motivational songs. Yvonne, this is the one you chose. Brewing up a storm. Brewing up a storm. Brewing up inside, and his eyes are wild. And his That's a great choice. The Stunning and Brewing Up a Storm. And for you, Bernard, representing Louth.
And I ain't seen the sunshine since. I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison. And time keeps dragging on.
The great Johnny Cash and Folsom Prison Blues. Right, okay, good luck to you both. We need the answers as quick as you can and no referring to Google. Let's get a bit of tension going. Okay, Yvonne, your first question is this. Podgorica is the capital city of which of these countries? Montenegro or Macedonia? Podgorica.
Montenegro.
Is the correct answer. Well done. Bernard, Vilnius is the capital city of which of these countries? Lithuania or Latvia?
Lithuania.
Is the correct answer, said with confidence. Yvonne, your second question is an audio question. We want the name of this film, please.
Do you mean to tell me that my children have been roaming about Salzburg dressed up in nothing but some old drapes?
Mm-hmm. And having a marvellous time.
They have uniforms.
Oh, straitjackets, if you'll forgive me. They fear you too
I don't
much.
Wish you to discuss my children in this manner.
Well, you've got to hear from someone. You're never home long enough
I
to know
I
them.
I don't want to hear any more from you about
I
my children.
I know you don't, but you've got to.
Wow. Heated discussion from which movie?
Sound of Music.
Yes, Christopher Plummer and Julie Andrews there. Well done. And for you, Bernard, can you name this movie?
For God's sake, Mrs. Robinson. Here we are. You got me into your house. You give me a drink. You put on music. Now you start opening up your personal life to me and tell me your husband won't be home for hours.
So?
Mrs. Robinson, you're trying to seduce me. Aren't you?
Well,
that's The Graduate, really.
It is. Dustin Hoffman and Anne Bancroft. Way before your time, 1967, but it is the correct answer. Okay, question number three for you, Yvonne. Which James Joyce novel is based on Homer's epic poem, The Odyssey?
Oh, gosh. I'm going to say Ulysses.
It's the correct answer. Yes, it's the correct answer. And for you, Bernard, you're flying through them here. Which Irish writer wrote The Ballad of Reading Gale? Sorry, Jail, I should say. So who wrote The Ballad of Reading Gale?
Oscar Wilde.
Is the correct answer. Yes. Three all as we go on to question number four. Another audio question. I want the name of this act, please.
I can feel my face when I'm with you. But I love it.
Well, Yvonne?
Oh, I don't know. I'm going to guess Maroon 5. I haven't clue.
No, it's Weekend. Can't Feel My Face.
Okay.
And for you, Bernard, who is this?
I'm taking it up.
Who's that?
That's Ariana Grande, Ray.
It is. No tears left to cry. You're good. Okay, now, Yvonne. Bernard's on four, you're on three. You can go for the one pointer, which will make you even with Bernard if you get it right, but he has a question in hand. You can go for the three pointer, bringing you up to six, putting him under pressure to go for the three pointer, and of course, three pointers are more difficult than the one pointers. So what's it going to be, Yvonne, representing Meath in Canada?
I think I'll throw caution to the wind and go for the three-pointer.
Ah, go big or go home. It's not what they say. Right,
yeah,
good luck with this. For three
for
points.
Okay.
Which of these Irish counties is smallest in area? Leash, Sligo, Armagh or Kildare? So which of those counties is smallest in area? Leash, Sligo, Armagh or Kildare?
Guess Leash, I think.
Leash. Yeah, Sligo is over 1,800 square kilometres. Leash is just over 1,700. Kildare, just short of 1,700. Armagh is the smallest at 1,300. So that means you're on three. You can't. Bernard's on four. You don't have to answer another question. Yvonne, it's been great chatting to you. We're going to send Ray D'Arcy Show mug all the way over to Canada to you.
Cheers. Thanks very much. Best of luck, Bernard.
When you're on Zoom
Thanks
calls,
all the best.
And when you're on Zoom calls, you have to hold that up in a position of prominence, okay? That's the deal.
Will do.
Okay, mind yourself. Stay safe, Yvonne. Bye now. Bernard, congratulations. You and Louth are into the quarterfinals of the All Ireland quiz. We'll talk to you soon. Mind yourself. Stay
Brilliant.
Safe. Bye.
Soon, Ray.
Bye.
All the
Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
RTE does comic relief, and they're doing it tomorrow night from 8 o'clock till after midnight. One of the people presenting it and behind it, that's odd, isn't it? Is on the front of the RTE Guide this week, and she's in front of me too. Deirdre O'Kane.
Hey! Happy Comic Relief Eve.
You look brilliant on the cover of the RTE Guide. Isn't this the big compliment now? You look very fresh.
Well, look, a ton of makeup and a bit of good lighting is a marvellous thing.
Well, listen, in advance, because I know that you've done a mountain of work so far. So congratulations on just getting here Thursday before the Friday.
Yeah, it's amazing to be here.
You must be very, very excited.
I am, actually. I've reached the point now where I need it to happen. And I just want the people to see the content because I've seen it. And
Will you explain to people, because I don't think people understand how involved you are.
Okay, well, because of my friend Darren Smith, who's a TV producer and friend of mine, and he's produced me in quite a lot of things, including Gogglebox and various different TV shows and theatre over the years. And when the refugee crisis was really happening badly and we were looking at the migrants in the boats, we were working together and we had a conversation about how horrendous it was and what were we going to do. And Darren said, I have been trying to do comic relief in Ireland for a long time and just haven't gotten anywhere. And I said, well, I'll help you. And that was the conversation.
How many years ago was that?
Four years ago.
Okay.
And 4 years ago, we started with a live gig in the Three Arena. And people thought we were being very ambitious because usually you go to, you know, an Olympia or Gaiety for these things. And we thought, no, let's just try and sell 7,000 tickets instead. And we did that. And then we did three of them. But we always intended to have a comic relief telethon, as they do in the UK.
Yes.
And the UK did start the same way with live gigs. So, yeah, that was the dream. And we thought if we build it, they will come. And we knocked on RTÉ's door and we hammered and knocked and shouted. And finally, it's come to pass.
Happening tomorrow night. Yeah. Will you tell them that very quickly, you know, some of the highlights? Because there are so many highlights tomorrow night.
Yeah, there really are. I've just come from a rehearsal in the studio and I'm longing for people to see what I've seen. Pat Short and his daughter Faye are kicking the night off. And that's an absolutely hilarious sketch, as Pat always
is. So it's a lot of sketches, is it?
There's a combination of sketches, comedy sketches and music, quite a lot of very good music and sports things as well. So it should appeal to absolutely everybody. I think that's
something
the plan.
For everybody. Yeah.
Yeah, and nothing is long. If there's one piece you don't like, it won't be longer than 7 minutes.
Right.
And you'll be on to the next thing. But honestly, I mean, the normal people, for those fans, I know this has been very talked about. It's very special. I mean, it's rock star special. It's so good. That's a highlight. The lip sync battles between two couples. I just don't really want to give away.
Well, we know who they are. It's been in all the papers.
Yes. Okay, so there you go. Well, yeah, I live in a bubble now.
Yeah,
so
it's Amy Huberman and Brian O'Driscoll.
Yes.
Because they're husband and wife. And Chris O'Dowd.
And Dawn O'Porter,
his wife. Yeah.
Okay, so I just thought their names are out, but not what they were doing.
I think I saw it in the papers about 3 weeks ago.
In any case, Ray, it doesn't matter.
Yes.
If it gets people excited and they want to see it, they are fabulous. And, you know, you've got to...
The brilliant thing is, I suppose it's a snowball thing, is it, Deirdre? Once you get one big name or two big names, then everybody wants to be involved.
I think it certainly helps. I think being able to say I had Paul and Daisy from Normal People and a couple of other major A-listers.
Yes.
People like to be in good company and they respond to that.
Like Westlife. How are you doing, Shane Filan?
Ray, how are you?
Oh, Shane, one of our heroes.
This has been talked about all week. There are people all over the country hoping, crossing fingers and toes and everything else. They're putting out the Child of Prague and praying to, you know, St. Jude and everybody else, hoping that they'll win this Westlife competition. Tell us about it in a couple of sentences, Shane.
Basically, you get a chance to, it's a competition to win Westlife. To perform at your 18th birthday, to perform at your wedding, to perform at a christening, to perform in your back garden.
Yeah, yeah.
Like it literally could be anywhere. So yeah, it's a competition set up. You text a number and basically it's €4 and 360 of that goes to the charity fund.
Brilliant.
And the same as the whole Comic Relief Fund. And then hopefully lots of people will text in. They've been going mad all week texting, which is great. And then tomorrow night, it's going to be announced, the winner. The winner's going to be announced tomorrow afternoon, actually. And one lucky person, hopefully, will be very happy with the result of Westlife coming to their forever.
It's text Westlife to 50300. Text Westlife to 50300. It'll cost you €4 and 360 will go to RTE Does Comic Relief.
And text as many times as you like.
Yeah, like if you really love your sister or really love your brother and you want them to, you know, you can text 55 times if you want and you're in more of a chance. Because honestly, it's going to be picked at random. This is literally a raffle and somebody is going to, we're going to arrive on somebody's doorstep for a very big occasion. So it'll be a lot of fun.
Now, Shane, in all the years in Westlife, you've done some mad bonkers things, but this must be up there, is it?
I think this is the most bonkers thing we like you know, the whole concept of Comic Relief, obviously Deirdre can explain it to you all more, but it's about having fun, it's about doing stuff that's kind of out of your comfort zone, stuff that you've never done before, and all getting together, everybody using as much publicity as they can to raise as much money for the charity. So
what do you hope for, Shane? What do you hope for? What are you hoping for? Are you hoping for a wedding or a Debs or...
Do you know what? I'm hoping for something that's just off the wall, you know. If it's an 18th birthday or if it's a... It could be a hen night.
Yeah, all right.
It'd be very interesting. It could be a wedding. Like, honestly, wherever it is, we'll be there.
Yeah.
And it'll be an amazing night.
Okay.
And it's, again, you know, it's just going to be a lot of fun.
It's very exciting and once in a lifetime exclusive and all that. Westlife to 50300. Westlife to 50300. You can enter as many times as you like. Listen, Shane, enjoy it. Whatever happens.
Thanks very much.
Thanks for taking the call.
Thank you, Shane.
Bye. So, Deirdre Kane, my advice to you is go and get a good night's sleep.
Well, I'm going straight back over to the studio more rehearsals, but you know what? That's fine.
Okay. So it's you and Jennifer Zamparelli and Owen McDermott and...
Baz Ashmawi.
And Nikki as well.
Nikki Byrne, yes.
And you're all there. And it's from 8 o'clock tomorrow on RTÉ1 right through till...
I think it will go probably till midnight at this rate because...
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Okay, really looking forward to it. Deirdre, thanks for coming in. Back to rehearsals
Thanks for having me.
That's it from us. And we'll be doing a big build-up to RTÉ Does Comic Relief tomorrow from 3 o'clock till 4:30. Mary Wilson is on the way. We are back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday evening.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTÉ Radio 1.